All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is an episode of the Divine Intervention Podcast. And in today's podcast, I'm going to be basically addressing a topic I'm titling Advice for 2026. And obviously, this advice is going to apply beyond even this year. But I decided to make this podcast because I feel like following the rules in this podcast can really help many medical students and many people just involved in medicine, just in general. And the title is Simplify. That's literally the title. So there will be a DIP episode 628 or whatever it is, but this is just like almost like one of these Motivation Monday podcasts. I guess today's a Thursday. So simplify. Right? Simplify. So think of this as like your charge for the year. You know, many people start the year with New Year's resolutions. And honestly, I don't really believe in those things. For me, I'm more of a, if you want to make a change in your life, you don't have to wait till January 1st to do that. Make the change now, right? You know, now is the time you want to make changes. You don't want to keep waiting till, there's nothing special about January. You know, it may give you like emotional nostalgia, but it's just like every other month in the year. It just happens to be marking a new year. So I'll just encourage you, like that New Year's resolution thought process on life, I would get rid of that. So the topic is simplify, right? And that's the advice for 2026. And I'm going to give you some derivatives. I'm going to explain how simplifying your life can be very helpful, right? So, but I think the first thing is before I start telling you like, hey, simplify your life and how you can simplify your life, what are some benefits of simplifying your life? Well, number one is that it makes your life a lot less stressful. Your life will be a lot less stressful if it's simple, right? When things are too complicated, they're more stressful. When things are less complicated, they're better, right? So like, for example, if you think about it, if you see a professor that is explaining a complex subject in a very simple way that makes it easier to understand, you feel a lot less stressed, right? That's what I hopefully try to achieve with my podcast. And the thing is, another benefit of simplification of your life is that it makes you more accurate, right? Because the thing is, if you have a simpler approach to life, then there's less risk, there's less room for error, right? Now, the third benefit of simplifying things is that things that are simple are more likely to be completed, right? Because there's just very little friction, right? Things that are simple are more likely to be completed because there's very little friction, right? When something is overtly complicated, you're gonna make it a lot harder for the person to complete it, right? So like, for example, if you think in terms of therapy for, I think, is it chlamydia or whatever, right? There are some therapies where you can take meds for like 7 days, right? And then there's therapies where you can take one big shot, right? It's like the chlamydia gonorrhea world. We're not going to go into that here because that's not the goal of this podcast. But you take one big shot versus taking like medications for many days. Well, guess what? The one big shot is better. Why? Because there's going to be more adherence. You're going to be more likely to adhere to something that is simple, right? Or like latent TB therapies. There's the isoniazid for 9 months. And then there's the other stuff, right? The thing is, the other stuff, you know, like the newer regimens are like 3-month regimens. Well, again, they're just simpler regimens. In fact, some of them are like, hey, once a week or whatever, right? So just something you want to keep in mind. You're more likely to do something that is simple. You're less likely to do something that is harder. That's the truth, right? Now, but one thing I want to say, one corollary I want to say to this is that the fact that you're doing things in a simple way does not mean you're not doing hard things. The fact that you're doing things in a simple way does not mean you're not doing hard things. Simplicity is about approach. It's not necessarily about the content you're dealing with. That's the truth, right? So like, for example, biochemistry for many people seems really hard, but the thing is, it's just the wrong approach many people have with biochemistry that makes it feel hard to them, right? In my mind, thankful to God for this, biochemistry seems incredibly easy. In my mind, thankful to God for this, biostatistics, pulmonology, many of these subjects seem very easy, right? That's one of the reasons I love teaching, right? But the thing is, it's not like these subjects are not challenging. They're challenging, but the thing is, if you have the right approach, it's going to stick in your mind better. You're going to deal with those subjects better, right? But the thing is, again, many people have the wrong approach to hard things. They take the hard approach to hard things instead of the simple approach to hard things. Just something I want to keep at the back of your mind, right? So because if you simplify things, you it's more likely to complete. You reduce friction, because whenever friction is lower, you're gonna do something, right? There's a reason why people would rather do drive through than go and sit at a sit down restaurant. Why? Because drive through, you just literally drive through, right? There's less friction. There's way less friction, right? There's a reason why Amazon has grown a lot as a company, because they reduce friction with Prime. You know, you can order some things same day, right? There's a reason why, again, you know, just reduce friction, lower, basically, let me tell you this. You want to make it likely that you do something, just kill the friction associated with it, right? Kill the friction associated with it. That's just the truth, right? And many of these social media companies, they take advantage of that in giving all these dopamine hits, but that's a different discussion for another day. All right. And then what's another benefit of simplification? Well, simplifying your life, one big benefit of it is that it gives you speed. It makes you do things very, very fast, right? When something is simple, right, you can build neural networks a lot faster. When something is simple, you can build neural networks, you know, basically networks in your brain a lot faster, right? And you can go through things very, very quickly, right? So what are some examples of things that I think I would recommend simplifying this year? I know a lot of people in medicine listen to this podcast. Well, number one is in studying, right? Simplify your studying. Simplify your studying. And one of the reasons that this is like my first point of call here today is that there is like an epidemic of people using so many resources, right? So, you know, many of you that listen to this podcast, you know that I teach a bunch of review classes and I work with a lot of students one-on-one. And when I speak to students, one of the things I tell them is, hey, guys, see, at the end of the day, just bring down the number of things you're dealing with. Right? Bring down the number of things you're dealing with. Many people, they feel like the more color-coded their studying is, the more complicated their studying is, the more moving parts their studying has, the better it will be. No. In fact, your risk of failure with those study plans or your risk of non-execution is very, very high, right? Simplify your studying. Reduce the number of resources you're working with or you're working on. Right? So like, for example, I tell people that, hey, if you can reduce the number of resources that you're using for an exam to like two, max three things, you're going to be in good shape. Once you start going beyond three things in terms of, oh, this is what I'm studying for an exam, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure in a sense, right? Have something that you do in the morning, something you do in the afternoon, something you do at night. Right? You know, so just something to keep at the back of your mind, because again, the more things you have, the more distractions you're dealing with, right? So whittle down the number of resources you use. I'm telling you this because I've seen many people these days. Again, I work with students, right? So this is something I'm pretty aware of. It's like a pandemic amongst students, not even an epidemic, a pandemic. Just people using so many study resources. All right. So what's another example of something that you should try to simplify this year? It's your study plan. It's your study plans, right? In fact, this is probably like the first thing I do. Or I mean, it's not obviously required, but it's probably one of the first things I do in my interactions with many people when I'm working with a person one-on-one. The first thing I help them do is make a study plan, right? Make a study plan. Again, guys, don't make study plans with too many moving parts. Let your study plan have as few moving parts as possible. Right? Like, for example, if you think about it, when something has fewer moving parts, the risk of failure is lower, right? The risk of failure is lower. You know, for example, theoretically, an electric vehicle should have fewer issues than an internal combustion engine vehicle, because there's just much fewer components. You're literally running the car on a battery and on an electric motor. Right? There's a reason why you can get instant acceleration out of an electric vehicle that you don't get out of a ICE vehicle, right? So just something you want to keep at the back of your mind, right? So reduce the number of moving parts in your study plans. You see some people, you know, I've seen some people, I work with them one-on-one before I, you know, thankfully cure them of this ill. But you see some people, their study plans involve three Q banks, two different Anki decks, three different books, 20 practice exams, reviewing this resource, this, and then they wonder why, oh wait, I've been studying for my exam since like last September, I've not yet taken it. Well, shock Pikachu face, right? It's because your study plan just has too many moving parts, right? So when something has too many moving parts, it's pretty much not gonna work. It's almost like doomed to fail from the beginning, right? So again, at the end of the day, your study plan, you want some guidance, at the end of the day, your study plan boils down to one good review resource and well thought out practice questions. One good review resource and well thought out practice questions, right? And again, if you're like, "Oh, Divine, I need a study plan for step one, for step two, CK for step three," I do have podcasts that actually address those things. All right, now. What is another example of something that I would highly recommend simplifying this year? Your testing practices, right? Your testing practices, right? So many of you know that I teach a test-taking strategies class, right? And I have heard many different approaches to taking the USMLE and COMLEX exams that really caused me to scratch my head sometimes. To be honest with you, one of the biggest problems I've noticed amongst people in medicine, right, especially people of the current generation in medicine, is that they just accept things. They never wonder why or does this make sense to do, right? So the fact that somebody did something and succeeded with it doesn't mean you should do it. And the fact that something is a very common piece of advice doesn't necessarily mean you're supposed to follow it. In fact, there are many common pieces of advice in the testing world that people follow that just really makes no sense. But again, that is not the point of this podcast, right? But I would just encourage you, simplify your testing practices. Simplify the way you take tests, right? If you simplify the way you take tests, you'll be surprised at how much better you'd perform on exams, assuming you have the requisite knowledge base, right? Because there are some people, I tell you, there's some people I work with one-on-one or from my test taking strategies class. Some people say, "Oh, Divine, would you recommend doing A, B, C, X, Y, Z?" And I'm like, "Why would you do that?" And then I try to break down and explain to them that this thing doesn't really work. You may think it works. Reddit, Student Doctor Network, many different resources may say that this works, but let me explain to you reasonably why this process does not work, right? And the thing is, this is one area where you need to be careful. I feel like many medical schools have kind of lost their touch. And I feel like, especially their academic advising offices, and not just medical schools, if I'm being honest with you, but even quite a number of resources have lost their touch, right? They pretty much say that, hey, they tell you that, oh, do this, right? Like, for example, there's this common advice that many medical schools give their students, just do questions. That makes absolutely no sense. It literally doesn't, right? Oh, just do questions and you pass your exams. No, right? The current, that may have worked 20 years ago or 10 years ago, the USMLEs, but that doesn't work now, right? Or like, for example, the way the USMLEs were in 2023 is not the way the USMLEs have been within the last 4 months even, right? So that's why you may notice, like, sometimes, for example, like some test taking principles I may have thought like 4 years ago, I don't teach them anymore because they don't work on the USMLEs. Or some approaches I may have recommended a few years ago, I don't teach them anymore because the USMLEs, like, they do pool changes, they make changes to the way they structure the exams. Like, you need to adapt, right? You need to adapt, right? So I'll just say again, simplify your testing practices. All right, now, what's another example of something that I highly, highly recommend that you simplify this year and again beyond is your application, right? Is your application. You know, many people, they overtly complicate their personal statements, their descriptions of their ERAS experiences, right? One thing many people do not realize, and this is kind of counterintuitive, but it actually ends up working out really well for people that follow this advice. Make your application simple, right? The thing is, the people that are reviewing applications, they have like tons of applications to review. The simpler your application is to review, the more memorable it becomes, right? So like, for example, many of you know that I review personal statements, recommendation letters, ERAS applications and things like that. And I do mock interviews with people. And you see people, they want to go off on this tangent, or they want to introduce their personal statement with this Spider-Man story and all those things. No, guys, it makes no sense, right? Because the thing is, if you make something hard to follow, you're increasing the mental friction associated with reviewing your application. And if there is more mental friction, you are less memorable. And if you're less memorable, you're less likely to get invited for interview, right? Or the person may not be very favorably disposed towards you, right? So I'll just encourage you, like, just basic, easy to follow. Basic and easy to follow. Basic and easy to follow. You know, think basic, right? In fact, I teach this as a testing principle. Think basic, right? You see many people, they believe that for USMLE questions, they have to do these complicated thought processes or whatever. No. Most of the time, a simple thought process will lead you down the right path. That's just the truth. All right. Now, what's another example of something that you need to simplify this year is your schedule. is your schedule, right? And I think the first thing I'm gonna start off this point by saying that you need to make your priorities, right? You need to have the right set of priorities, right? The thing is, people feel like they have so much to do every single day because they have a lot of things on their schedule that really doesn't matter or could be delegated out, right? So I will encourage you, see, don't insert too much into your schedule. This was a feeling I had for a very, very long time, and it's an area that I'm still improving on. But I really try these days to not put too much into my schedule. I'd rather have like 3 or 4 things that I focus on in one day and do them excellently well than have 10 to 20 things that is like, oh no, right? And then I give less than my best to those activities, right? So don't insert too much into your schedule. Prioritize, right? And one thing I will encourage you to keep in mind with your schedule is to chunk things into bits, right? Especially if something feels overwhelming, chunk it into bits, right? If something feels overwhelming, especially if it's something that you really, really hate, chunk it into bits, right? So like, for example, one approach I recommend with some of the people I work with one-on-one is, if there's a particular subject you just really, really hate, guess what? You can study that subject for 15 minutes every hour for 15 hours in a day, right? You can say, or even 12 hours. You're going to be like, you know what? For 12 hours today, every 15 minutes from the beginning of the hour to the 15th minute of the hour, I'm going to study this subject. Guess what? If you do 12 hours of doing that, you've pretty much studied that subject for, guess what? How long do you think you've studied that subject for? 3 hours. You've put 3 hours into that subject, right? But it doesn't feel as bad, right? Or like, for example, if you're a person that is like, oh, I need to work out, why don't you do like 10 to 20 push-ups an hour? You'll be surprised that by the end of the day, you've done like 100, 200 push-ups, right? So if something is difficult or something is something you just don't really like, chunk it up, right? Especially things you hate. It's almost like a form of systematic desensitization, right? It's like some CBT method that's used to treat specific phobias, right? That's a different discussion. But basically, like, chunk things up, right? I remember, for example, right, like, there are times where I would literally, you know, there was a rotation I was on in medical school, right? Pretty intense rotation, pretty intense hours. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do like 3 to 4 UWorld questions per hour while I'm on the shift. So I'll find like 5 to 10 minutes within the hour and just burn through like 3 UWorld questions. And notice that by the end of my shift, I'd done like 40, 50 UWorld questions, right? And then I could go home and just sleep and not feel guilty because I chunked that thing up, right? So, but one thing I'll say though is, if something is a thing where you know that, this thing, I need to accomplish it. I need to do this thing for hours on end. You know, I cannot always do this thing in 15-minute chunks. Then I will say increase the size of your chunks over time, right? So say, for example, you're like, oh, this thing I don't really like doing, right? So let's say, for example, you hate doing practice questions. You can start off with doing like 15-minute chunks, right? You do like 15 minutes in the first hour, stop. Next hour, do 15 minutes. But then by the next week, add 5 minutes to that. Make it 20 minutes. And then after that, 25 minutes. And then 30 minutes. Because at the end of the day, right, if you're a person taking a USMLE exam, you want to be able to sit down for like an hour or 2 hours and just do something without a break in concentration and just keep pounding through, right? So you can increase that over time, right? So you may maybe need a somewhat of a longer dedicated period than most. All right, so that's a different discussion for another day. All right, so now what's another thing that you should attempt to simplify this year? It's your workflow, right? I'm telling you this, and I'm going to be done with this podcast pretty soon. People just have some just really crazy workflows. You see some people feel like the more color-coded, the more folders they have in their lives, the better. No, guys. No, right? Some people literally have 60 folders of things, right? You see some people, even like their UWorld journal has like 500 different tabs or whatever. It's just, guys, no. Let me tell you this, you're not doing things in the, again, that may be an approach that works for you, but I'm going to argue that there's a smarter approach to this, right? So like, for example, for me, you know, I don't write too many notes, but I keep 3 general kinds of records in my day-to-day, right? So like, for example, like for the year 2026, I'm like, hey, Devon, you're going to keep 3 kinds of records. Number one is, you know, and again, there's records I keep for other things, but just like for me personally, right? Like I have a, number one, I have a record of my Bible studies, right? You know, many of you know I'm a Christ follower. I try to study my Bible every day, right? So I have one record of my Bible studies, right? Hey, what do I learn from reading scripture? I write it down, right? What's my number two record? Number two record is just general bucket of life stuff. Like, hey, what are these goals? What is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? I put everything literally into one folder, right? And then what's my third folder? My third folder is that I keep a record of like, oh, key points from books that I read, right? So I'm a person that really loves to read. I love reading, right? And I'll just tell you this, like, this is one of the best life habits that will make your life dramatically better if you just do it, is reading. And this is one thing I'm so grateful to my parents for, right? From a little age, they heavily encouraged me to read, right? I used to read like newspapers back in the day in Nigeria and all that stuff, like literally sometimes for hours in a day, right? So for me, like I try to read a couple books per month, right? So the thing is, for me, when I read, is like I want to be able to remember like what are the key points from these books, right? So I just kind of put them down in a folder, right? That's literally it for me, right? You know, I could have folders because I could try to overcomplicate my life and say, okay, let me have a folder for prayer and a folder for Bible, a folder for this, a folder for that. No, for me, I'm just like, there are three big buckets. There's the Bible bucket, there's the life stuff bucket, there's the books I read bucket, and that's it. I literally don't have any personal records beyond those, right? Again, it just makes my life a lot easier, right? So that's the thing. Have a simple workflow. Simplify your workflows, right? Have a simple approach to things like pre-rounding, a simple approach to rounding, a simple approach to writing notes, a simple workflow for reviewing content, right? Think of your life, try to almost like make other sets of your life, right? So like, for example, right, one of the earliest things I learned in residency is this. Hey, you know, make an order set for like DKA. If DKA is something you know you see very frequently, why don't you make a workflow for it that is simple, right? Why don't you have like an order set that you save of, hey, these are things that we need to do for people with DKA. So that if a person comes in with a DKA admission, you just literally like write your note and click like three buttons and boom, all the orders that need to be done for those people are done already, right? So try to make order sets, especially of things that, what do I mean by an order set? Again, I mean a simplified workflow of things you know that you encounter very, very, very frequently, right? And the thing is, every now and then, you know, every few weeks, every few months, examine this workflow and ask yourself, is there something I need to update from this workflow? Or is there a way I could simplify this workflow even more, right? Because I'm going to tell you this, many people have steps in their processes that they really don't need. They have steps in their processes that they really don't need. All right. Now that I've kind of given you some examples of things that I highly recommend simplifying this year, what are some ways you can simplify your life? Well, again, I've kind of talked about a few principles already as I talked about these examples, but some other specifics I think I'll mention as I wrap up this podcast is this. Number one is transformation, right? One way to simplify things is to transform them to forms that work for you. Literally transform them to forms that work for you. In fact, to be honest with you, that is one of the primary roles I see as a person that makes educational podcasts, right? And also teaches in other settings. You know, sometimes I teach Bible studies and all those things. My goal is I ask myself, Divine, how can you take this complex piece of information and transform it to a form that is useful and easier for people to swallow? Can you make it an easier pill to swallow? Right? Whenever you can transform something to a form that works for you, you're more likely to use that thing, right? So that's the thing. Like, for example, I remember during my PEDS rotation as a medical student, you know, there was one textbook that I, you know, somebody recommended to me that, oh, Divine, this book is it, right? It really, really works, really worked for me. It contains everything you need for the shelf. And that book, when I looked at it, that book has like only like one picture in it. It's only if maybe they've changed things now. I'm not going to mention the book. I'm not trying to crap on Aaron because it's actually a really good resource. Maybe they could just maybe change a few things. But the book, I was like, man, this book is a pain to go through. This book is a bear to go through. So what did I do? I was like, okay, Divine, what works for you? I like to listen to things. Don't get me wrong, I love reading, but one of the best ways for me to capture material is to just listen, right? To somebody explaining it or giving me a lecture on that thing. So that's probably part of why I have a podcast instead of like some textbook or whatever I've created, but different discussion, right? But what did I do? I pretty much read most chapters of that book to my phone. I basically gave lectures on each of the chapters of that book. And it just so happened that while I was on that rotation, I had to make like 45-minute commutes each way. So I just hook it up to my car and just listen. Listen, right? So by the end of that rotation, there are some chapters I'd gone through like 5, 6, 7 times. I could pretty much almost like tell you word for word what was in those chapters. Well, thankfully, I did well on that shelf exam, right? So that's the thing. Transform things to a form that works for you. Like, for example, I look at my podcasts, I look at my review classes as knowledge transformations. It's like, hey, what's this complex thing that's out there? How can I make it simple? I'm telling you this, like one thing that goes into my process of creating podcasts, of creating review materials for my classes is this. I literally do research in, hey, Divine, is there an easier way to understand this thing than what is commonly thought right now, right? Is there an easier way to understand this thing than what is commonly thought right now, right? That's, so for me, like when I teach review classes or when I tutor people or when I make podcasts, my goal is not to just like teach you content that is out there. No, I ask myself, what is the best way to teach this particular content? Like, hey, okay, there's an odds ratio formula that is out there. Okay, is there a better way to teach the odds ratio formula? Is there an easier way to understand odds ratio, right? So that's like probably one of the things that takes me the most time in my process for making podcasts or whatever, right? So I'll just encourage you, like, if something is tough to go through, just put it in a form that you love, right? If, for example, you're a person that you're like, oh man, let's say you're like, one of your fitness goals is to consume more protein. And you're like, man, I hate protein shakes. Protein shakes suck. They tell me I should take 100 grams or whatever of protein a day. Again, please, this podcast is not meant to give medical advice, by the way, right? But it's like, hey, I want to take 100 grams of protein a day. It's like, okay, well, maybe let me put it in a form that I like. Maybe there is these particular protein shakes that are very yummy, right? So for me, I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe I should take this protein shake that is pretty yummy. You know, it may not be the best, but maybe it does the job for me, right? So just transform things to forms that work for you. All right. Now, what's another principle you can apply? Automation, right? Literally automate whatever you can. And let me tell you this. What are some things that are prime candidates for automation? Things that you do on a regular routine basis. Automate those things as much as possible, right? Whatever you do very frequently, turn it into some kind of order set or some kind of checklist or some kind of algorithm. Create a process, right? Automate that thing so that it's something you can do very quickly, right? I'm telling you this, that's one of the things that helped me so much as a resident, right? And continue to help me right now as a resident is this, right? Like, I just tell people, like for example, I remember my transitional year. You know, I was doing a bunch of floor rotations, a bunch of ICU rotations. I had a method. I had like almost like an automated process for pre-rounding, for rounding, for writing notes, for doing admissions, for doing physical exams, right? Like there are many things that I almost have like unconscious automation going on in my mind with those things. So those things may take somebody like an hour, and for me, it may take me like 10 minutes because I've just automated those things, right? So automate things as much as you can. Create a process, create a checklist, create an algorithm. Just create something that makes that thing go by faster, right? Now, what's another principle to follow if you want to simplify your life? Remove distractions, right? Literally, tune out low-yield activities. Cut them away from your life, right? The thing is, there's theoretically so many different things we can do with our lives, but there is only so much time. Time is a finite resource. You don't have unlimited amounts of time in your life, right? So please, guys, tune out low-yield activities, right? You know, there's this Bible verse that says to lay aside weights and easily besetting sins. Like literally, like what are those things that are weights that don't really help your life? Those things that easily beset you, right? For some people, it's excessive time on YouTube, is excessive time on Instagram, is excessive time on X, is excessive time on Reddit, is excessive time on some social media or whatever, or is excessive time talking to a particular person every day, right? You know, obviously that, you know, your spouse, your kids, that's maybe somewhat different, right? But the thing is, like, what are those things that are loyal? Like, literally cut them out of your life. Honestly, there are some relationships you need to sever this year. That's the truth, for you to move forward, because those things are like heavy distractions. They just introduce complications to your life, right? Now, what's another principle you should follow? It's just shut up, literally shut up. Be quiet. I'm telling you this, one of the best ways to simplify your life is to literally shut up, to literally keep your mouth shut. Shut up, be quiet, right? There's this Bible verse that says that he that keeps his mouth keeps his soul from troubles, right? You're going to have a trouble-filled life if you talk more. You're going to have a trouble-free life if you talk less. Let me not say trouble-free, but you will heavily minimize the troubles and the complications of your life if you just shut up, right? Literally, shut up. Be quiet. That's self-explanatory. Okay, final principle I'm going to discuss is minimize social media use. I'm telling you this. These things basically bring chaos to your brain. They literally bring chaos to your brain. Minimize your use of social media. Literally, just stay away. Just do like a life challenge that, hey, for the next 1 week, I'm going to stay away from social media. You'll notice how much simpler your life becomes and how much more clarity you have in your mind, right? And I guess one final thing I'm going to mention is, this principle just came to mind, is don't multitask. Multitasking is not a good life skill. You're like, Divine, are you serious? Many people say it's good to be a multitasker. No, it's not. It's not, right? Literally, stop multitasking. Focus on one thing at a time. Focus on one thing at a time. Or if you're multitasking, let it be very, very limited, right? So like, say for example, there's probably nothing wrong with, let's say you're doing a 10-hour drive and you're listening to an audiobook while you're driving. Although you'll notice that, man, many times that audiobook, your mind may not be tuned into it because you're trying to focus on your driving, right? So I'll just say in general, and this is something that is almost non-existent for many people these days. Many people try to do two things at once. No, that is not a smart approach to life. I kid you not. It is not a smart approach to life, right? Do one thing at a time. Focus on one thing. Focus on one thing. Focus on one thing, especially if that thing is like, man, I need to do this thing for like 30 minutes to an hour. Just focus on that one thing, right? Many people, you see them, they're standing in line at a grocery store. They have to like doom scroll through their phone, right? Or they're shopping and they have to check their email while they're shopping. No, right? This is part of what creates distracted driving. And you'll be surprised that you end up spending more time to accomplish the same thing than if you are just focused on that one thing, right? So I'll just encourage you, like, you know, just that's one of the reasons why chunking is so successful. If you're like, hey, I'm going to study for 15 minutes out of every hour, this subject without distractions, right? You put your phone in another room, whatever, just focus on one thing for 15 minutes. You notice that those 15 minutes, you notice that, man, it used to take me an hour to study what is now taking me just 15 minutes to review. Right? So just something to keep at the back of your mind. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and stop here. But I really feel like if you follow this podcast this year, it's really going to make your life dramatically better. Because many of these things, I practice them myself and it's made my life easier. It's made my life simpler and it's made me a more effective individual. All right. So as I wrap up this podcast, I do offer a bunch of review classes. They actually begin this Sunday. So if you love the way I teach, you would love my review classes. I have a test-taking class this coming Sunday. And then, you know, after that, I have a biostatistics class the next day. And then social sciences and ethics review. These classes are for step one all the way to step three. And then after that, I have a last minute review and a 20-hour review that's specifically for step two and step three, or obviously if you're taking level two or three. And then I have a 25-hour step one class that's going to be taking place in the first week of February. And then I have a 50-hour class. It's a 500 multiple choice question review class. And it's a lot more than 500 multiple choice, you know, like, you're like, oh, just 500 multiple choice questions. No, we do a lot more than that, right? There's a ton that happens in that class. There's a reason why that class goes over 10 days and is 50 hours long and it only holds once a year. It's an epic one-of-a-kind class, right? It's going to be taking place in the first 2 weeks of June this year. If you're interested, shoot me an email. I can give you some more information. I also offer one-on-one tutoring and I also help with ERAS applications, mock interviews, personal statements, and the like. And then I have this podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, and I have a YouTube channel you can also check out where I post the videos that I make. And then I have another website called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. Again, many of you know I'm a Christian, so every week I post like one or two podcasts where from a biblical perspective address a life lesson. There's actually an Apple podcast associated with it called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. But again, there's also DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. So thank you for listening to me today. I will see you in my first formal education podcast. But I just wanted to get this advice out there because I feel like it's something that can help a lot of people this year. All right. So have a wonderful day. God bless you. Bye for now. Thank you.